a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. The Word for Life radio ministry is a ministry designed to educate you, encourage you, inspire you, and just draw you closer to the Lord. That is our desire for our broadcasts with Dr. Rich Schmidt. Rich, welcome back. We're talking about God's plan for Israel and God's plan for His church and how we all fit together.
Well, good morning, Pastor, and it's great to be here once again to discuss one of my favorite subjects, which is the Jewish people in the land of Israel.
Yes.
And we left off last broadcast talking about one of the four main covenants that God has with the Jewish people and the land of Israel. And just a quick reminder, why we brought this up is because this is the 50th year reunification anniversary of Israel. So back in 1967, Israel regained control, if you will, of the most important sacred piece of land in the Jewish way of thinking, which is the Temple Mount.
Right.
And it's extremely important because God had His first and His second temples built there. Of course, in 70 AD, that second temple was knocked down, and the Jewish people had been without Israel all the way up until 1948, when Israel regained control, at least of part of the land of Israel as we know it today. And then in 1967, which is where this 50-year anniversary comes about, is when the Jewish people had a tremendous victory in the old city of Jerusalem, recaptured it. And that's why today we're celebrating, or this period, we're celebrating the 50-year reunification of the people of Israel. Now, from a biblical standpoint, we looked at last time what we called the Abrahamic covenant, which is in Genesis 12 and Genesis 17. Now we want to look at a second covenant, which we're going to call the land covenant. Some of our good friends may have a different name that they use for this particular covenant. I've heard many, if you will, Christian people call this the Palestinian covenant. Quite frankly, I think I don't like the use of that term because really Scripture doesn't refer to the land as Palestine. It always refers to it as Israel or the land of God's land or the land of the Jewish people.
Or something Canaan or something like that.
Right.
Right.
So I think the proper term to use is the land covenant.
I think, you know, it would be confusing if they called it the Palestinian covenant because the Muslims and the Arabs call themselves Palestinians.
Right. And, of course, that would be almost a conflict of interest,
yes,
I guess we
would.
Could say.
Yes, it would, yeah.
All right, so God actually gives a little piece of the land covenant back in the Abrahamic covenant, so we'll just look at that real quick. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.'" They were in the land of Canaan. God said, "Look out at this land," and He would give it to them. To whom?
Right.
To the Jewish people. In fact, God brings out the fact that that land was passed down. And in Genesis chapter 12, we looked at that God gave them the land. Then God gives us several other verses that show that that was not only to be Abraham's land, but his descendants' land.
Okay.
So if we look at the son of Abraham, which of course was Isaac, and in Genesis chapter 26, verse 3, God states that that promise that He gave to Abraham was passed on to his son Isaac. Then, maybe even more importantly, Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob, if you recall, his name was changed to Israel. So Jacob was Israel. So we have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, whose name actually is Israel. And God promised Jacob in Genesis 28:13 and in Genesis 35:12 that the land that God had promised to Abraham would, of course, be given to the people of Israel.
Okay.
So, now, the question we asked last time we met was, can God be trusted with His covenant? In other words, is the contract that God made with Israel and the Jewish people, Did he break that covenant? And some people seem to think that that's exactly what transpired when they say that no longer does God have that covenant with Israel, but he basically negated that covenant with them and turned it over to what we call the church or the current church age.
How could that covenant then be described as everlasting?
That's a great question. And as you just stated in Genesis 17, God said it is an everlasting covenant with the Jewish people.
And in the same way, we have been promised everlasting life if we trust Christ as our Savior. So if everlasting doesn't mean the same thing in the promise to Abraham, then everlasting wouldn't mean the same thing to God's promise to us.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more because, boy, that's a very, very strong biblical statement you just made.
Exactly.
And we've got to be able to trust our God.
Mm-hmm.
And as we stated back in Hebrews, it makes it very clear. God cannot lie.
Right.
So let's look at what is more commonly called as the land covenant. We saw a piece of it in the Abrahamic covenant, but here's where it's stated, which is really in Deuteronomy chapter 30. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1, it says, "When all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today with all your heart, with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will."
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an interesting word which we'll talk about. "The Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you."
Right.
Verse 4 of Deuteronomy 30. "If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you." Verse 5, "And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possess, that you may possess it." Now, Pastor, that is so interesting because God is making this absolute promise to the people of Israel.
And never can the church be included in those verses.
Absolutely. And what's interesting and what the great theological point here is, what God is stressing. Now, let me ask you, has the church been dispersed?
No.
All right, so has Israel been dispersed?
Well, yes.
Have the Jewish people been dispersed out of their land?
Yes.
Sure. And we know that back in history tells us, we can look at the Bible and get it for sure, but even history tells us, we can look at historians that have written about it. In 70 AD, almost 2,000 years ago, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, were scattered. They were dispersed. And really, there's still, and it go based on what particular census you read, but there's now maybe 16, 17 million Jewish people across the world. But are they all in Israel is the question.
No, of course not.
And they're not. There's, and again, depending on which census you read, there's about 7 to 8 million Jewish, maybe closer to 7 million Jewish people that live in the land of Israel today. Well, where's the rest of them?
Mm-hmm.
They've been scattered. So it's very interesting, and here's what maybe some theologians, some Christians might miss. You see, something major happened in God's prophetic calendar. The Jewish people came about in about 2000 BC when Abraham came on the scene. Then another major change took place in about 33 AD with a person named Jesus.
Right.
And when Jesus came on the earth after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, he started something totally unprophesied in Scripture, which is what's known as the church age. So things are different during this current age. Jews and Gentiles alike can come to Jesus Christ by simple faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
But God made it very clear that this church age is going to end. A wonderful event called the rapture of the church is going to take place. It's very specifically talked about in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 and 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 54. Where God said he's going to remove the church age, take us to heaven. Well, then the next piece on God's prophetic calendar is what we're just reading about here in the land covenant.
Right.
There's going to be a horrible 7 years of tribulation spoken about in Revelation chapter 4 through 18, And then what does God do? Revelation 19, Jesus comes back with his saints to set up what's known as the millennial kingdom. Revelation chapter 20 and verses 1 through 7. When does this land covenant come to fruition that we just read about in Deuteronomy chapter 30? Well, it's right after Jesus Christ comes back and the Jewish people are regathered and the blessings and so forth are once again given to God's Jewish people. So it's very interesting that we must center in on what, unfortunately, many theologians today and even some of my good close pastor friends are denying, that there's going to be a literal 1,000-year millennium on the earth. Well, when it's stated six times in seven verses between Revelation 20, verse 1 and Revelation 20, verse 7, six times God makes it very clear that there will be a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ on this earth.
If he says it once, that's good enough. But, man, just keep repeat.
Let's just say I'm talking to a family member, and I say something once, you may or may not buy it.
Yeah.
Two times, you might have a little more credibility. Six times in seven verses, I think God pretty much meant what he said.
That's exactly right.
So we're going to take the literal word as being that. So what's the benefit? And again, why are we celebrating, if you will, this year, the 50th year reunification of Israel? Why is it important? Well, here's why it's important. God fulfills his prophecy. Now, let me make it real clear. The prophecies that I just read have not been fulfilled yet. But what we're seeing is what I like to call the stage setting, the preparations that God's making to literally bring all of his prophecies to fulfillment. In other words, are all the people of Israel regathered? No. But how many folks have come back that are Jewish to Israel? And as we just said, over 7 million Jewish people have come back to the land. The fancy word, or the Hebrew word, if you will, is they've made aliyah. They've gone back up to Jerusalem. They're going back to their homeland. And in the future, that aliyah will become a reality for all the Jewish people. So, where does that bring us? Has the church replaced Israel?
No.
And I would, of course, 100% agree with you. If we believe in a literal interpretation of Scripture, if we don't allegorize it, if we don't spiritualize it, if we don't try to make up some theological concepts as we move along, then we have to believe that according to the Abrahamic covenant, which we looked at in Genesis 12, according to the land covenant, which we looked at in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God will restore Israel and God will bring all of his Jewish people back to the land.
And so as a result of that, we as a church ought to be very strong in not only promoting God's program with evangelism and things like that, but also encouraging our national leaders to stay strong on Israel so that we can be a part of God's blessings and definitely not a part of God's cursings. Well, next time we get together, folks, we will continue this very exciting study, and I trust you'll join us every time we get together. May the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.